to write in the beginning of Rick's report after supper this Friday, the 21st of April, 73. Channel 2 write and beginning of Rick's report after supper this Friday, the 21st of April, 73. Channel 1 write, Channel 2 write, Channel 2 write, Channel 2 write, and the beginning of Rick's report after supper this Friday, the 21st of April, 73. Start with, I'm lying down in here. Rick got in late, and he's eating, and he and Faye are talking. And I'm lying down here taking a little breather, and they're talking long. Start with.
And you see, this is what I saw. It's the heart of this thing that y'all are doing out here. It is a new way of, it is a way of life. It is a way of living. And what's more, people like Pat pee you off, do me, to say the wrong thing.
They're not just courteous, they just don't pay any attention.
And so you know, you react. You know, you get in that and talk.
Mm-hmm. I always figured you at least had to ask how many cows they got. Now I think, no, you don't.
Mm-mm.
That's really a dumb question.
That's right. And at the same time as well, Miss Vanda David, you can't let this isolate you, even though you see the difference. But it
doesn't. It can't.
Uh-huh.
It just pushes you into it.
Uh-huh. I mean, isolate you from people who can't hear, can't listen.
It just makes it harder. Yeah.
But that's right. It tires you.
Biggest kicks is how many shows go on. It's just all the entertainment you'd ever want once you begin to get aware of it. You have some very talented performers in gas stations.
And everywhere.
And Janet keeps saying, you're going to be late for dinner. And I'm saying, oh, well, if it doesn't matter, food's hot or cold, it's okay. I didn't know how to tell her, I don't want to miss this. I met Lois Dixon today.
What do you think so?
Pretty sure it was her.
Kind of a
of gray-haired and light? No? Must not have been Lois Dixon. About what age is she?
She looks as if she's about 50, 60. She's 70 or something. She's a quick smile, real marvelous eye. Right. Very attractive. Mm. I don't know what kind of car she drives.
This was a tan Chevrolet, new one, fairly new.
I don't think hers is tan.
Whatever it was, could sure talk, chatter. Well, she kept it going. Front end alignment.
Didn't notice it after a while. I noticed it on the front. And Dad said that he fixed the radio, that the radio doesn't leak anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I did this morning. But anyway. And when I drove it in, that steel chrome piece.
You don't stick out anymore?
Well, I hit the post and it pushed all the way back.
You may as well just take it off.
Take it and get in the door. I hate to take it off. It makes me look so clumsy. Some of these niggas. We can hammer it back up. That's what's the matter with it. That's what happened in the first place. I caught it. That's why it's in the shape it's in. Well, now you can understand why more and more why people in town just waiting there. And he can go and sit and talk all day with people in
Mm-hmm.
And he just feels refreshed.
Mm-hmm. It's just
gorgeous. it's just like a...
Pat was saying today, so I had just had this beautiful friendship with my gardener. He was a rough old fella. I'm just waiting, because it sounded good. She wouldn't say a thing, didn't say all he said. But he could just grow anything. He's always saying, Mr. Rambeau, you don't plan on a growing moon. You just stick it in the ground any old time. You can't do that. But so I took hold and I was just, oh, come on.
Uh-huh.
I was saying, well, he didn't plant fruit trees, did he? Oh, I don't know. Oh. You know, I just didn't know how to pick
mm-hmm.
it up.
Mm-hmm. And you think, well, a person like that, if you could catch them when they had time enough to see, they probably could. But look what it takes.
It'll take two or three people working hard.
Working hard, yeah. And she'd have to have a little time.
She said she might have some time Sunday, but she'd call.
But you see?
I said, I didn't know, I might be real busy in this weekend.
But you don't have to have it heated. That's guy's word. Heated. I mean, the countryside, it's not here. It's just, as you say, it's so comfortable. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up. You're not competing. Trying to get in that, the fast word.
A person's really taught me some patience is Eddie. Because you ask him a question, you're not going to get an answer. If you ask him two, that's it. He just won't pay attention to you. And I just very careful to say just something casual. And he'll pick that up. If he picks up a question, he'll get one or two words at the most. And it'll be, no. That's it.
One boy is to the left, the other boy hitting his stomach. I don't know which one it was. And so Janet said to him, "Now you go straight and hatch your boys." He went in there, and the guy had the teeth and teeth and guy. And when he came back, he said, "You're not going to let these days on either."
Yeah, Janet took him down there.
Take them all. Or you must have made up for it. I don't know if ice cream or not. Sure?
Well, a little bit.
Used to, you could cook up a bunch of hamburgers and put them on the steak. It's not as expensive as a steak.
Mm-hmm. A lot of ham sandwiches. I get half a pound for $1.30.
Yeah.
Sliced boiled ham.
Yeah. That's
it'll make
better. Well, especially when you get one and bake it yourself. It comes out.
Amber?
That's what I think he was deal. Now that's real meat, you know.
Mm.
And it's not doctored. But
you can get a cheaper brand, but it's not worth eating. It's really poor. It's all fat and gristle.
Yeah. I just didn't pay $1.10 and have it where you can eat it since $8.09. You get about four, even just medium. I like those today. Just four.
I'll tell you, with all these cattle around, I wouldn't tell anybody you can't afford hamburger, though.
Too quiet. Doesn't seem quite loyal to serve ham when you have the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
just about another bite.
In fact, this is the last one.
Come on in.
It's been one show all day long.
Rick's got the bug guy.
I thought it was slow, and then I just looked back for a second, and I thought, Janet took all those kids down for an Easter egg hunt, and Eddie got back from looking at house trailers and had a minute since I was going to watch the station for him, so he worked on his Camaro, you know. And the needle valve in his carburetor stuck, and the thing will overflow with gas. So he gave me a pair of pliers, and he says, now you see this little screw? Now you beat on that and see if you can free up that valve, and I'll start the engine. Well, he did, and I beat on it. It overflowed. The next thing I knew, the thing was on fire. I jumped back, and I said, Eddie, it's on fire, and threw down the pliers and took off, and I grabbed the fire extinguisher, ran back, and fumbled around. Come on. He's just leaning on the hood. Hit it. Come on. Put it out. He says, where are the pliers? I'm like, what? I said, what'd you do with the pliers? Oh, they're way over there. I'd thrown them down. He just laughed at me and picked up the pliers. I just said, so let me drive a little bit. Put that fire extinguisher in the back seat. I might need it. He got the car and drove off. I mean, it was just burning. Gasoline. We drive around with no air cleaner, nothing to stop the flames. So he came back and fiddled around with that a little bit. And put another carburetor on and left it for a while. And Janet had come back with the kids, you know, and they had all those colored Easter eggs. And Janet was eating one, and she opened it up. And he said, you know what makes that yellow in there and the green on the edge? I said, that's sulfur. And then she looked real smug and proud and walked off. And these other sulfurs, he says, sulfur in the egg. About this time, this fellow drives up in a Plymouth VIP. That's a top-of-the-line Plymouth. And he's a burly fellow. And he comes in all the time, and the kids, Eddie and Janet. When he gets out of the car, I looked toward Ed and said, the car kind of rises up when he gets out, doesn't it? And everybody kind of snickered. And Eddie knew what he'd come in for, an exhaust pipe. And he says, I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell him I sold it. So the guy came in, he's got on his sunglasses. And then he's got another pair of yellow-colored glasses over it. And then he says, what if you got two pair of glasses on four? The guy says, to make you ask questions. He says, all right, I ask a question. Now you give me an answer. He says, well, you can put these on. So Eddie put them on. He's like, oh, it's too bright. And he says, yeah, they're for driving at night. They make things bright. And I thought I'd just try and sell them a little bit. And he says, well, and Eddie says, oh, well, I sold that pipe. And the guy just looked at Eddie. He didn't say anything for a minute. He goes, you don't mean that. He says, yeah, a guy came in here and needed one, and I put it on. You know, I really pleased him. He just thought that was the nicest thing in the world, that I had that pipe. The guy, he's big now. He's bigger than Eddie. Oh, you didn't do that. And turn around, stomp a little bit, come back, and Eddie just lean in there. Yep. Yeah, you know, it's nice to make people happy like that. Oh, come on, bring your car in. I'll put that damn thing on for you. So he put the pipe on, and I had to pump some gas. And he told me later the guy's a songwriter, and on the side he just wheels and deals and whatever he can pick up. His name is Bristol something. Starts with an H, I forgot now. So it looked like it was going to slow down. I may as well go on home. And then comes this car, and Janet had waited on it, and she just walked by and said, doesn't need gas, he's just running a little hot. So I opened the hood, and I could hear it bubbling and boiling in there. And Eddie walked over, and I said, well, see, I told him I was going to go at 6, and he knew it was about 5 minutes to 6. He says, run a little cold water over that for about 45 minutes and then open it. So I'm running the water back and forth, and you can hear just blum, 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 blum inside that radiator. And it finally quiets down, so I ease the cap off. Nothing happened. So I took it all the way off, and it was empty in there. I thought, well, Eddie, it's empty. He goes, oh, well, have her start it up. Well, it wouldn't start. It just went click, 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 click. And he sighs, says, all right, get the battery charger on it. So we hooked that up, and one of the cells bubbled. And he says, oh, by the way, you got a dead battery, too, to the lady. And she just kind of slumps down in her seat, you know. And we put a little water in the radiator, and it fills right up. You know, it didn't take a pint. I thought, that's odd. So I got the car cranked up again, and it just blew the water right back out. Just hot, you know, just boiling hot like a geyser. So Eddie stood there for about 10 or 15 minutes running water over the radiator, got the engine running, and he'd run water down the radiator and it'd blow it out again. And he'd run water down the radiator. He just finally stuck the hose in there and stepped back and just let it boil, and just geyser just blew all up on the hood and in the fender and everywhere. And I figured, well, it's the thermostat heated too. So he went and pulled out the little housing, pulled the thermostat out, and I scraped the gasket off, you know, and it's hot. And he's just down there, and he, oh, damn, cars are hot. And we just might have to let this cool off for an hour or two. Because he knew the lady was in a hurry to get down to Orlando. He opened it up, and he took the thermostat out, and it was open. We figured it'd be stuck, be closed. And he tapped on it with a hammer, you know, tap the housing to see if that would help it any, and it seemed to. So he goes, put another one on, put it back together, started it up. No, I didn't start it up, but I'll tell you what happened. Janet walked out, and she was looking over, and then she reached down and goes, oh, and gives the fan blade a twirl. Well, there's no fan belt on it. No fan turn, no water pump turn. Well, it's pump gas, and Eddie looks at him and goes, oh, Ricky, look what you did now. I said, Eddie, I didn't do anything. I'm just supposed to turn the water on and off. Oh, you done it to me now, Ricky. I don't know what I'm going to do. Look what he does. So he goes in and gets a fan belt. And he gets down there and bent over, and he's got his hands down the radio, and he's mumbling to himself. And the lady's down there. These damn Chrysler products. Who would ever have one belt to run just the fan and the water pump? Now, they always run an alternator or something off it. Look at this. They got two belts running the air conditioner. Heck, you don't need any air conditioner if the fan isn't going to work. Damn Chrysler products. I just don't know what I'm going to do. They're just junk. He gets the belt on. Janet is laughing at him, and I'm laughing at him, you know. And they fills the radiator back up with water and turns the engine on. Well, of course, that fan sucks the air through the radiator. And we'd had water all in that radiator. So when he turned it on, it just went, and there sprayed up all over us. Just got all over me and Eddie. And I said, Eddie, you know, I guess we should have noticed it wasn't spraying any. He said, what do you mean, we? Look what you've done, Ricky. You messed this all up. So I said to him, I said, well, you want me to start taking that other thermostat out? And he goes, no. So we let the car run a little bit. And this other kid had come up and looked at it. And, you know, he was a friend of the lady's, and kind of asked what he'd done. And he said, oh, that thermostat got stuck. And he says, fan belt fell off, and the car got hot, and then that thermostat got stuck. And I said, oh. Eddie's going to push this thermostat on her. He doesn't want to take it out. So he watched it, and it ran pretty good. And he looked at it and says, you want that thermostat? She said, I don't know. Whatever it needs. Well, it didn't need the thermostat. She didn't want to pay for it. And Eddie didn't want to take it out, so he just gave it to her. $4 or $5 plus all the work to put the thing in. I just stood there,
and he didn't try to sell her on it
No, he just said, you know, it was stuck, but he didn't push it any further than that. If she said take it out, he would have taken it out. But he didn't want to. He'd rather let her have it. That was the finest show I've had all day. Burns his car up, gives that man a hard time about tailpipe, and then the poor lady standing there and he running the car down. I swear. And the nice thing about it is, see, I can use what I've learned. And I think this is the first time I'm really getting a chance to take it out into the public. And these group of people talking, I can see an opening and just stick a word in. Just, you know, keep it primed and keep them talking. And it just flows out of me. Oh, it's a pleasure. Miss Huff came in there and won some gasoline. She's got this Cadillac. And they don't ever buy gas until the thing is empty. Well, I put in 25 and 7/10 gallons, and the thing only holds 26.
Oh, Rick.
And it ran all the way around to $9.99, so I just eased it on up, 000. And I said, well, I guess it's free. Nothing reads there on the meter. She laughed and went on in. I told Janet it wouldn't cost her anything. Janet laughed. And I got to talking. I said, well, what's your name? Oh, I'm Rick Reynolds. I live over there in Evanston. And I've had 3 or 4 people ask that, you know. They come in and I just wash the windshield off. I say, you know, this is such a pleasure because before long the love bug is going to be out and I'm going to have to work at this. I just don't mind these clean windshields, so I'm just going to, you know, enjoy it while I can. I was talking to Ms. Robert Williams, and after a while they said, well, who are you? You know, I'm getting established.
Rick says it's just glorious. It stretches him out. But it is other conversation.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought Rambo was pretty good. I really did. I thought she listened. And then we were out there and we were talking about trees. And it wore me down. When she left, I was rattled. I sat down in the chair because I couldn't go anymore. I had it.
Rick says, I know what guy means.
You'd start to say something about cows and say, oh, are those red cedars over there? And I thought, well, by damn, what's the matter? How many cows have you got? You have one question after another. And not get a thing. And your mind has just got to move back and forth, and you're trying to take hold, and you can't. And then she goes out in the field, and she, you know, when she was talking about that gardener she had, and it's, oh, we have such a beautiful friendship. And he's always saying, Rambo, you don't plan on the growing side of the moon. He can just grow everything. And I was excited. I thought, oh, my God, she's going to take hold. We're going to hear this. And then she let it go. I said, well, he doesn't plant fruit trees. I just, you know, pick something up. No. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know what he planted. And I say, it might have been a beautiful friendship, but you can't tell me a thing about it. You have to tell me it was a beautiful friendship. And that's the worst thing in the world. It frustrates you.
Yeah, I kept longing for cookies.
I said, I wish I could find cookies.
You said, that's your pleasure to come.
I went by it.
But Rick, how in the world can you explain? Can you tell anybody this unless they've seen it there?
But you know what happened? I was washing clothes this morning, and I saw Ms. Whetstone. Now, I lived next door to Ms. Whetstone for a year when I was my junior year. And I'd heard her name, but I never went over to meet her. And it turns out, see, I had a professor at junior college named Whetstone, and it was her son down in Miami. So I went over one day and met her and just talked a little bit. Didn't pay too much attention. So today I thought, well, I will go meet with my Whetstone. And she's in the laundromat, you know. And she's watching her clothes. And you know how if you're about 15 or 16, you'll be a little self-conscious in your laundromat, all these people looking at you, and you'll open the lid and then kind of shift your weight to one leg and rest an arm on it, trying to look nonchalant. Well, that's what she did. And see, Ms. Whetstone's about 85. And I thought, well, this is a bit of the girl in her yet. And she was, you know, just as spry as she can be, and her mind's so bright. And she's very good looking, you know. I went over and said, Ms. Whetstone? And she said, yes, you know, not at all shy or, you know, wondering who this young man was coming up to talk to her. And I said, I just lived next door to you for a year or two. It's been a while. And I knew Kathy Phillips when she roomed with you. And she said, oh, yes, you must be Rick. And I said, yeah, I had your... Oh, and she looked out and she saw my car and said, is that your car? That's a mighty nice car. And I said, yeah, I got that from my daddy, though. I got a good deal on that. And she laughed. And I said, I knew your son. I had him for a teacher. And she said, oh, yes. And you know, he wanted to buy a car. You know, he loves books, though. And when he was at Yale, he had so many books, it was cheaper to buy a car and bring them home than ship them. And when he came home, I said, Michael, where are your clothes? And you know, he had them stuck on the floor behind the front seat and his books on the seat. And she just went right on, and I leaned there on the washer and let her talk. And then we got on to floors and how floors squeak, and she just went right through it, how they varnished the porch and put 3 coats of hot wax on it.
Now, where does the gap come, Rick?
The gap.
Where does the break come? Where they can't do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But she talked to me as easy. She hasn't seen me in 2 or 3 years, doesn't know me. And all I had to do was just say a word, and it just came so easy. Mm-hmm. Eddie teaches me more than I realize. You know, he won't take a question. If you ask Eddie a question and he answers it, it's going to be, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I see him doing something, and I get, you know, excited and want to have him talk a little bit, and I lose control and ask a question, and that kills it. That just kills it dead. I may as well go sweep the floor because I've blown it.
Is that right?
And
well, you know, it kills me to ask me a question.
I just have to make some offhand comment, and he might pick it up, and he might not.
Yes, that's it.
You just take what you can get.
But none of those damn questions.
Oh.
That's what read me out of Sunday school. They asked me what I thought of baptism.
But this business, as Rick says, when the talk is good, you're just so elated, you're rested.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when the talk is when there's no talk or when it's frustrating, you're just worn out. And he, for the first time, he can see what you mean.
That's something.
Well, yes. Let the subject be what it may.
Mm-hmm.
It's all satisfying.
And you know, you can just, it's like you change the whole direction of your mind, and you just don't even think about asking a question.
No.
You just, what was I brought up today? Oh, the lady was talking about Bock Tower. She wanted a car filled up and check under the hood and check that water in the battery and the radiator because I'm taking a trip to Bock Tower.
That sounds like Lord.
And I just came out. I said, you know, I was just a little boy when I last saw Bock Tower. And see, she could hold on to that. She could say something about it. She, oh, well, I've been there many times. And if I said, do you like Bock Tower? That would have killed her. But I never thought of it. It just came right out. And it's such a pleasure when you don't have to guard yourself against asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah, no
question. It's just, you're actually talking to someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could just see it right away. A little chatter like that kept it going in the blank spots. She wasn't saying anything in particular, just saying, yes, my friend's coming down and she's going to leave her car here and then we're gonna go in my car and go on down to Lake Wales. She was just like thinking what was going on. And I thought, what a gift that is. To be able to just, it's very easy. Just a very quiet little talk, just saying what you're going to do, and it keeps it open. And you can break into it any time, and there's no insult. She's just holding it open.
Sounds like the sounds like he thought it was Lois Dixon.
That's
like
what that's what Janet said.
Well, that's
and you know, she was just chattering away. And Janet said, "How much gas did she buy?" I said, $7.90. And Janet laughed and said, "Well, she only usually buys five gallons. It is funny. She drove up and she looked at me and she looked at Janet. "You got a new boy?" And Janet says, "Yes, but you know, he can't even tell you the easiest way to get to 301. He's a Miami boy." I said, "The hell I am. I've lived up here 4 years. I'm just not any good at directions, and I never said I was." And they laughed. And Lois looks at me and says, "Well, I believe I'll let you fill it up."
But I don't know how you can, unless you experience this yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well,
oh, yeah.
It's taking it out of the public. That's just something I haven't really done.
Yeah.
And
I am
just using it. You know, I use it to talk with Miss Sweatstone. Now, I could never have talked to her before.
Yeah.
If I just would have had no idea what was going on.
Think what had happened to
Lynn
Dixon if you'd had this.
Mm. Now, I got out some of those papers and just had them ready, and I didn't think Rambo would have time to look at the papers. And if she took them home, I knew she'd never look at them. You know, the speed that she lives at. And I had that old magazine, Earth. Ever look at, and I just kept one. You know, it had that little letter to the editor that said, "People don't know about these Ozarks, but he says it's nice living with these hill people." And then he went on about gardening, but he never made contact with the hill people. I don't know whether she could conceive of that or not. And then just look at one of those things you do over the head is, or this thing that Debbie did on Mr. Weaver out there gardening.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't run across anybody. But it is inconceivable to them. Apparently, it's terms in which they simply cannot think that any living human being can make contact with another. But that's what's happened.
That's right.
In this last generation or so. I don't know.
They don't even realize they're not making contact.
That's it.
They have the most peculiar notions of what it is to make contact. What strikes me is like when she looked at some of the, like the notes on Miss Daisy, I thought she'd realize it was just information, it was just rough. But the comment was, well, now this writing would have to be worked up. It always go back to the mechanics of it. And that kills you off.
Oh, well, it's not much chance. It all seems so simple, you see, but look how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Look how long it took me.
And look how long it's taken you.
Yeah. But boy, when it clicks, is it nice.
I tell you, I have felt great relief today for some reason or other. I just... care whether I went in there or not. But I think you and Debbie both are level off. And somehow or other, I feel considerable relief. I don't know if there's any connection or not. But
I told a guy tonight after, you know, sort of seeing what you can see now, and I feel like you're over that little hump. And that beautiful thing Debbie did on the beams, finally she's made contact,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Weaver, real contact.
And I'd like to see that.
I knew not with the countryside. I just feel like, you know, this is as far as I want to go. Yeah.
You see, up until the certain stage, it's painful for me to work with people. It's just constant. It's just constant uncertainties. Always on the air.
And all the telling and all the seeing somebody else do it.
Yeah.
It's not like you see you doing it yourself.
Oh no.
You know, when God took me over to get my car, I think I'll go by and see if Cookie's there.
You know, he came by the other day. When was that? It wasn't long after, I guess, Rambo had left the first time. I could really feel the relief. Cookie's here. Sit down and brag a little, do anything.
Yeah.
It's such a relief.
He does better when his family's not with him, but he...
He just told her to stay in the truck.
Oh, shoot. Well, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Grant or no grant.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's just worth it to see. If we've got two disciples.
Now look at somebody like Cookie, and I'd be the last person on earth I think I'd ever want to.
And I see Debbie's beginning to see her sisters, and the light of this, she's catching on. And it's inevitable, you see. She's doing that. That's what I jumped about here at lunch the other day. Not to do that, but she's doing it. And
she was so excited about it.
She's saying about all those people. Look at all the people she knows. She specialized in these things. All these people. See. But she's going ahead with she's the heir to all her mama's friends. I mean, Susan doesn't have friends. Phoebe doesn't have friends. Debbie's the one that takes on that responsibility for the whole family. And she's looking at all that, you see, in this way.
She was so excited about making this role with Mr. Beaver. I mean, really excited. The most exciting time she had. And she was just in the glow. The guy said she came in. She just couldn't stay. So she went home and told Phoebe about it. Phoebe wouldn't listen.
She's reading the paper and she says, "What do you think about Mr. Vixen?"
This one gets me. I, as eating lunch, I was just reporting a little on Cookie and everybody just kind of looked at me funny.
Now here's what the talkers do, some of them. By God, they just crack loose. Now, some of them do that. They just keep going. They don't care whether you listen or not. And I don't know but what is not the best thing. I get at that point sometimes. You have to improve your repertoire.
Yeah. I think so. Oh, man. No, as much as I learn, though, when you hear somebody like Cookie or Miss Mary, they just make you feel shabby.
Yeah, that's right. I told Debbie she's upset. She's going to, I asked her what she's going to do this weekend. She told her father tomorrow that she's going to spend the day with Phoebe shopping and getting ready for her trip. Says Phoebe doesn't drive and Phoebe doesn't love to shop, so she'll drive her. I said to her, she could start that talk with B. Fox. B. Fox is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen her in 20 years, but last time I saw her, she was interesting.
Yeah.
And she could call Miss Mary, tell her she had business in town. I'm sorry she hadn't been able to come out here. But now, Miss Mary called over here and gave her that cue about Louise Graham being here in town at home. But she didn't offer to go there with her. And she can't go by herself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go myself, as like we said.
Mm-hmm.
It's Louise Graham and Miss Mary. They're the ones that do the talking, and you just on the outside and listen. And, oh, I don't know, there are two or three people she can keep in touch with, Faye. B. Fisher up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she goes in there and comes out here just empty-headed. She can keep in touch with them. A lot of people. Besides the same old ones, Candy and Russell. I've lost interest in both of them. What they do, they carry on their childhood games. I don't think they think of each other. That's that, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how you grow up with your friends. How you brought up with them.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is, you see, once you get the toehold, you're not on thin ice all the time, you see.
Hmm.
You can go ahead like a normal human being. And, you can keep in touch over there. You can keep on the, over there. And work on something else, too, I guess.
Okay. But there's just ought to be some way that this can be, you know, communicated.
I think that I wish we had something that I had worked up something on this to deal with. Enough to, you know, have a manuscript to show.
Rick's come along right fast, considering how long it took you to come.
I hate to be probing into what I didn't know. Whew.
Mm-hmm. take the most pleasure is following one person, like we followed Miss Daisy for 2 years, regular. She was the most accessible. The most accessible one that we've ever dealt with. And something would always come up. You always had, you see, what do you call it? Just that budget of news of what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes every day or so.
Mm-hmm.
They live in it. It's sort of like the atmosphere they breathe. They live in that. Make that the staple, that's just a little every now and then. Staple from Miss Daisy was we would somehow or other get these people and she'd bring them to life. People I thought I knew.
I'm not either. She's just absolutely frantic in her life.
Well, you see, you get these little milestones, little pieces, you see, where you make some contact, but they come slow and I don't do any more what Rick does now. But you see, that's what he does now. That's the basis of it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basis. You've got to do that. Mm-hmm. See, I'm past it. I just don't have the. Well, you see, I'm sort of past it. The reporting is. Report on your experience, and then you listen to someone report on experience. That's what it is.
Hmm.
That's the deal, isn't it? Now, you see, Eddie never talks because he's too busy to act it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd say it would be. It'd be just reckless, just useless to go to any trouble to get him in a position where he could sit down and talk. He don't sit down, I gather.
Well, now and then he does, and he does talk. But it's not off.
Well, it's just sort of broken talk.
He does a nice, sustained account of a dog one time. 10-15 minutes. Just solid.
I've heard him. I know what you're talking about. But
it's not often.
Mm-hmm.
He can talk. I wouldn't be surprised if he could talk better than Janet. But
yeah, just, I think he can. I think he can.
She's got a little too much humor in her. You know, it ends up toward quipping.
Yeah.
It's a lot of exercise, and you, just one person after another coming in there, and you can't really make contact, but it really keeps your mind alive just to see if you can get some conversation going. Just some talk going. Just like they, and after a while, they'll come up and start talking. That's what they do with Eddie. He doesn't have to go talk to anybody. They come up. And he doesn't ask questions. He runs them down. You know, you're still driving that damn thing. Why don't you get a view of this Ford? It's just junk, Charlie. And away they go.
What I'd love to hear talk is right up in front of you there, Robert Wood.
Well, I'm getting to know Ms. Williams pretty good.
Right
here. Yeah. She's always in there with, you know, they've got just a fleet of cars. She must have 6 cars listed on the back of that credit card. 2 pickups, a Chevy, a Plymouth, a great big truck, cattle truck, and a couple others. They don't take stamps, they get 2 cents off on the gas. Per gallon. And she's in there and I said, you know, I just hate to have to keep up a fleet of cars like this. And she said, well, you know, we've got 2 pickup trucks, a cattle truck, a Chevrolet, a Plymouth, and something else. And they just start coming out. And see, she's getting to know me. Oh, who are you? See. I just take my time about servicing a car. I don't try and hurry. Keep the hood open a while, so we gotta keep talking. She's no big hurry. It's phenomenal the ways you find to tie people down. like I finished under the hood, I just don't have anything else to do, but I don't close it. I just leave it open. And go back and finish pumping gas. See, then I still got to go around and close the hood. You know, it just gives you a little bit longer. You just never know what's going to pop up.
Well, now, as I picture it now, this is just as I picture it, but I kind of go from my upbringing. There to talk. And
I thought she was completely out of all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that she was tied down like she is.
She's on the way up.
And she's just getting just tied up.
She looked awfully fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Without any.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she wears all those, that stuff. Just as long as I'd stay. And I'd stay just as long as I thought. Everything's happened to him. But for most of the time I've been down here, he was the mainspring. He was a great talker. It was a little different from theirs, but it was still. You see, I've just been surrounded with it. I didn't learn quite early enough, you see, to how to get it. I made a good many. Well, you see, the only place you can really talk is right here. Mm-hmm. Now you can get ready for talk somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
but that talk. It's this talk I was interested in. But now this other goes along with it.
Well, yes, because without this basic thing that Rick has said, you can't get the talk.
Well, you don't learn.
You don't
get experience yourself.
That's right. And you don't
see?
Learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It has to be.
You got to get experience in the countryside. Well, now he's got this automotive stuff, you see. And that'll put him away.
Mm-hmm.
But he can do any of them. And it's a shame that he, you see, the cunts had run him out. I mean, people wanted to work for nothing. He used to say, I was the only one that paid him. I'd pay him about twice what he asked.
Well, and you know, the little total over there, Rick.
Well, yes, yes, and you see, you get that toehold, yes, and you can use this machinery as your sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you go anywhere.
You just bring it up on occasion everywhere. They're all going to have something lying around.
Oh, yes, yes. You see, look what Cookie can do. He fritters his time away. He's selling old plug horses. he puts the horses above the people, you see. If he could somehow or other get the people in, but he can't do that. He never has talked much about people, and just a little limited way. It's always by himself.
You know, he's taken that trailer. Talked about selling that for quite a while now. It's almost like that's just to take him somewhere. It's just like an occasion I might sell him a trailer. He's not going to sell it.
Oh, yes.
Think
yes.
He might?
Oh, yeah. You sell anything. I don't guess he's ever sold any of his children, but he's got a swap.
Run
him
out.
The only horse he kept is Laura's horse.
Mm.
And it's hard to understand why we would hang on to these old clothes. You run into somebody, you see, I don't think Beatty himself is such a big talker.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him talk to a few people, but they did more talking than he did. I don't think any of these merchants or storekeepers, I don't think they get sustained talk or done it themselves.
Too much of an eye out all the time. Got so much else on the mind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ever seem to leave them.
Yeah, I guess that's
it. Now, old Jim Means is past his prime now. He's the one that passes by there in that old truck.
Mm-hmm.
He never stops there. I think he stops at Dodge. And, but if you talk to him, I don't think you'd get much now. He's pretty well soured on the world. But the thing of it is, that shallow community is just full of great talkers if you could get to them. That is a nest of them. And down at Fairfield, Red Carter,
mm-hmm.
Those people, there's some down there, but you have to get to them. Well, thank you. other won't help me much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to do that,
mm-hmm.
but I do. And you see what I've done, I've quit doing it now. But always my mind was making this more flexible. Having it somewhere else, making it mobile or something like that, you see. Well, we can do that, but you still got to have it on the table because you got to fill it. Your voice has to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you put it off somewhere, you get it. It's rough.
Yeah.
But it's not satisfying.
I just don't believe that outside it's ever is controlled.
Outside is you have to put some blinders up. I don't know. But you don't have to think about that. But if you had the tape, you wouldn't. I'm geared to the reporting, and that makes it hard on the people I work with, because all of them are young people.
I can see this. I can see this more and more a possibility. How you work it out, but it's. Or the clinic, but this is so healthy. This is the basis. This is why I keep telling God. Now, you use the word Freudian, but it's basically so healthy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
healthy. Yeah, it makes you make contact,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing it in a skillful way because
mm-hmm.
all of your experts
mm-hmm.
over there, you see. They don't quite have. Able to see how far along you are. That's a damn good thing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Let us talk about Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
You ought to get to that badge there. Put Ricky on it.
She said, you know, Ricky doesn't mind work, does he? I said, oh, I don't think so. He doesn't mind washing windows or sweeping. I said, no, he doesn't mind work. Than they are. Franklin does.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. They'll have a hard time coming up with Franklin now.
They were sure. Oh, shoot.
But he's got that ease, that leisure.
Eddie.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. I mean, pressure, or he makes a goof. I mean, that was a royal mistake to miss a fan belt.
Why, yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of thing, like running out of gas. Having somebody take apart your engine and find out you're out of gas.
Yeah.
That was all. You're just supposed to automatically look for that.
I haven't checked your prose, Mike. I'm very much sensitive. Your prose is
a little rough.
Not too interesting. I mean, I never have been. You know, I might have noticed it. But I like it where it's mostly more like the spoken language, and where you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you write down, you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
The man who reads it won't. He'll read it like the Reader's Digest. But that don't matter. You don't have to read it that way. somehow get it sort of strong when you get Eddie Guggen like that. And then seeing it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's, I don't know, revelation. That's,
that's right. You can't just pass
it. Uh-huh.
And was it Janet that saw it?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't overdo it, you see. The circumstantial side of it might do a little of it. That's an artistic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't examined Debbie's like that. This last thing she wrote on Mr. Weaver's garden, it doesn't sound like her. She's shifted it a good bit. You're not impressed with her grammatical language. I never had much respect for it. I've had a good bit of ribbing in my time. People with me down there know that, especially members of the family, rather close members. They like it to be correct, you see. I never cared for correctness. Never cared for correctness. I'd always have a little manure on my shoes. That's my preference. So I didn't have that problem she has. Of course, I had problems that she doesn't have. I had a problem. She can outdo me almost every way. But that is one of the nice things to see when you have a difference in age, you know, in competition.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sad thing. I never paid attention to it. We just lived from it. But Nick, you know, oh, he knew how to sit on a horse, that's about all. And he had an easy manner with a horse. But Barbara knew horses.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bastard, he cut her off. He couldn't listen to a thing. She didn't care. Yes, I was shameful, Faith. He just couldn't listen to her. He couldn't stand it.
And English riding, though.
English any sort. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Barbara and new horses, and he didn't.
Yeah.
This is way long on Channel 2, right around 1600, 1700. The end of the Rex Report this Friday after supper, the 21st of April, 73. Channel 2, right. Towards the end of it, and the end of Rick's reporting this Friday after supper, the 21st of April, 73. And tomorrow's Easter Sunday. Tomorrow's Easter Sunday, as late as I ever saw it. The fourth Sunday in April, and there are five Sundays. started on Sunday.
First.